This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Opinions expressed on the Naz and Wally Sports Hour are those of Naz and Wally and their guests.
From hockey to wrestling, football to golf, no sport left unturned. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning. Welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigobon. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto. My co-host, Naz, isn't able to join us this morning, but we do have on the line former Washington Capitol, former Toronto Maple Leaf, Leapin' Lou Franceschetti. Good morning, Lou. How are you?
Who says I'm in a good mood today? I'm pissed off. I've been pissed off all week.
Don't swear.
I'm not. Don't worry.
Don't swear. I know. I have half a reason. I know why you're a little bit upset. Has that got something to do with a game that happened yesterday down in Tuscaloosa, Alabama? Or is that the town down there, Lou?
Yeah, that and what happened last week in Miami. It cost me a bunch of money.
What happened in Miami? Oh, the Bills.
Yeah, the Bills stunk the joint out.
Yeah, we know that. Yeah, you're loaded for bear this morning, Lou, man. You've had a tough week. We're not even talking. We haven't even got to the Leafs.
Well, the Leafs again last night, too, or all week.
Yeah, so you're ready to rock and roll this morning, Lou. I can tell.
Yeah.
Okay, just to let our listeners know where this show's going today. Today's Grey Cup Sunday. It's an important part. It's been an important Sunday in Canada's history for a long, long time. It's an event. Means a lot to a lot of people. We recognize that, and couldn't think of anybody better. We've always paid homage to the CFL on Grey Cup Sunday. So many great memories of so many great Cup games growing up. So we couldn't think of anybody better than the voice of the Toronto Argonauts, the indomitable Mike Hoagie Hogan. He'll be joining us shortly. We'll also have on, we're talking about the Bills, talking about the Leafs. We're going to have TSN's Carlo Koliakov on middle of the hour. And last weekend, there was an incredible sports card expo at the International Centre in Toronto. Then who better than John Amendola to bring us up to speed of what's going on in the sports card market. It's still on fire, and I got an opportunity to go down there for a couple hours. Wow. It's certainly pretty popular, hobby at the present time. So, Lou, how'd you get yourself involved losing money on the Bills? I didn't think the Bills were your team. What happened?
Well, you join these survivor pools, right? or suicide pools, and obviously the one I'm in, you pick three teams and you'll load up.
Yeah.
And like, how do you figure the Bills are going to lose to the Miami Dolphins after what Miami's gone through?
Oh, wow.
the previous couple of weeks?
It was.
I think we talked about it last week.
Yeah.
And we went off the air, and I did say to you and Naz that watch out that the Bills have a tough time playing in Miami with the Heat.
Yeah, no, it's always been a trap game for the Bills. Last couple of years, and it's not even that they lost, Lou. They were horrid. They were absolutely horrid. Against one of the worst teams in the league. They were just awful. I don't know. Have you seen the Bills poster that was circulating in the Greater Toronto area this week? I don't know if you've seen it. It's probably
the one with the coach there.
No, the one that was circulated by Bills Mafia was probably created by artificial intelligence. I have no idea, But it was something that was circulated by Bills Mafia to Toronto sports fans. And it just said, it says, please, please stop rooting for us. So, it's absolutely hilarious. Just telling Toronto sports fans to stick to Toronto, and Niagara Falls is already split in two. They'll take Lake Erie, and we can take Lake Ontario, and they love Trader Joe's, and we are the pox that's making things worse for the Buffalo Bills. I mean, it's tough coming on here trying to talk about the Leafs and the Bills, but hope springs eternal. Someday, the Leafs will be hoisting the Stanley Cup, and the Bills will be hosting the Vince Lombardi. So,
You know what? The Bills still have a chance this year. It's just, you know what? Again, it's professional sports. It's myself. You see them come off a big game like they play against Kansas City.
Yeah.
Okay, and you think that they're flying high, and they're going in against the Miami team that everybody hates the coach. Tua's not who Tua is. They deal, you know, the players on the defensive side, and they can't even move the ball. It was just, I guess, frustrating. And I'm not even a Bills fan, so the Bills fans must have just gone through the roof last weekend.
That was a tough one to watch for Bills fans. It was
like there was no flow to the game.
It was tough to watch. We're going to talk to we'll get into it with Carlo later on in the hour as well. That was, and you talk about deflating. You know, like we had a great performance against the hated Kansas City Chiefs in a game that the Bills dominated the week before, you know, against the Chiefs and Mahomes and Kelce and all those guys, Spags fighting off the Kansas City coaching staff. And then you go into Miami against a team that's absolutely under siege. The coach, how he's managed to survive, has dumbfounded a lot of people. And then the Bills lay that stinker. That was really tough to watch. Really, really tough to watch. And what was also really tough to watch this week was the Toronto Maple Leafs. First 5-game losing streak in a long time, I think going back to 2019, we've always talked about on the show, it's early in the season, let's not get excited. Yeah, I think it's time to get excited. This team doesn't look like, and they've had injury troubles, you know, I get it, and that's been one of the reasons for their success in previous seasons, is they managed to avoid injury troubles to a significant part of the lineup. I mean, there have been times when Matthews was out of the lineup, when Marner was out of the lineup, but not injury troubles to 3 or 4 or 5 key players, and the goaltending isn't there the way it should be. And this is very concerning, Lou. Very, and we're going to get a chance to talk to Carlo about it, but this season's going in the wrong direction. And we need some hope in terms of next 2-3 weeks might be critical for the Leafs to turn this around.
Well, you know what? It's frustrating to watch these guys. But at the end of the day, I think this team is completely not structured properly. It's not built the way they should to succeed. I don't know what's wrong here. They think there could be Marner. I don't think it's Marner. I'm just thinking that
this is more than one. This is more than one player.
But it's like I'm watching the Montreal Boston game last night. Right off the bat, two fights.
Yeah,
they call the players on. They engage. It was a hell of a game. The Leafs, I have not seen that all year. And plus, now Brad, with his hands tied when he first took over this organization, he dealt 2 first round picks. Which could be very, very valuable this year to build this team, and he doesn't have them.
Yeah,
Fraser Minton.
Yeah, who scored a goal against them last week?
Brandon Carlo, who's nowhere near the player that he was in his first 2 years in Boston. They got Scotty Laughton,
who's hurt.
Where has he been? I know he's been
hurt.
Injured
Come
this
on,
year,
he's
and
hurt.
They signed him to an extension.
Yeah. Oh.
You know what? They dealt the first round pick. silly for him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. You know, I don't know.
I want you to hold that thought, Lou, because I'd like you to bring that up when we talk to Carlo. That exact same point. I'm curious what Carlo's take on it, and I don't disagree with you at all. I think you're right. And let me get something else off my chest. And I've said this a few times, and I know you, Lou, and I like your reaction to it as a former player. And I'd like to address this with Carlo when we get into it as well. You know, I saw a tale of two different teams this week in terms of how they deal with certain events that happen in a hockey game. Yesterday, the Darth Vader of hockey, Sam Bennett, decided that he was going to gratuitously elbow Kucherov as he was skating by him. The usual when they talk about elbows up politically, well, elbows up is Sam Bennett in the National Hockey League. He gratuitously bumps his elbow against Nikita Kucherov's head as he's skating by him. And, of course, Kucherov falls prone to the ice. What happens with the Tampa Bay Lightning? All of a sudden, you know, really quickly, there's like five Tampa Bay players that are in Sam Bennett's face immediately. Okay? Dirty hit. I get it. Austin Matthews, their captain, gets taken out by who's that big defense? Zadorov?
Zadorov.
Yeah.
Zadorov.
And I'm not necessarily saying it was a dirty hit. I'm not convinced it was a dirty hit. But he took out your captain. Did you see any pushback, Lou? Did I miss it? Was I watching a different game? But says, you know what? You know, the guy, you know, our captain. I don't care whether it's a clean hit, a dirty hit, whatever. It's my captain. And if you're going to take him out, there's got to be consequences. Lou, am I wrong?
Well, yeah. Did you see Max Domi go after him?
Yeah, Max is the only one on that team that's got any pushback.
But again, it's in the third period.
Yeah.
It's not after that.
You
got
to do it right at the time.
Yeah.
Like, did I miss
that? It's got to be Joshua. Yeah. It's got to be Stevie Lawrence. It's got to be Roy. It's got to be McCabe. It's got to be Carlo. It's got to be Benoit. It's got to be everybody there.
Yeah.
You have the players to do it. They're just not doing it. And I bet you Berube is just fuming in the back of that bench.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not just this incident. They did it to Tavares. How many times they do it to Tavares? No pushback. They did it to their rookie, Bennett. He pile-drived Matthew Knies in that playoff game. And Knies got a concussion, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
Nothing. Like, I don't know. I see Kucherov, you know, an elbow to the head. There's half the Tampa Bay teams after Bennett, like immediately. And we're not talking about guys that are enforcers, right? There's like some of their little guys were going after Sam Bennett. So you're not doing this to our star player. We don't care who you are. You're not doing this to our star player. Austin Matthews is the franchise, and he got taken out. And I didn't see much. I may have missed it. Maybe my left eye was looking somewhere else. But
no. And then you see again the Boston and Montreal game right off the first puck drop because of what happened the previous game.
Yeah.
They're going at it.
Yeah, and this got to drive Berube crazy. I got to think
I think he wants to put his skates on.
Wait, I'd put him back out on the ice. I mean, wow. Anyway, we're gonna have fun with this with Carlo when we get into it. Maybe Carlo is seeing things that we're not seeing. Maybe he's seeing pushback that I'm not seeing. So I definitely want to ask Carlo that when we get him on in the middle of the show. A couple of minutes on NCAA football. It wasn't a great result. Alabama. I still think Alabama's got a shot at the national title. I'm thrilled about the performance by the Irish yesterday. It's probably against a ranked team, although I looked at University of Pittsburgh Panthers record. I don't know why they're ranked. They haven't beat anybody, but the Irish did a number on them yesterday. So they're peaking at the right time. Bama, Texas looks like they took a beating yesterday from Georgia. Ohio State seems to be the clear class of this year's NCAA football group. Your thoughts on what happened yesterday, Lou?
Again, it's really frustrating. Ty Simpson made some big mistakes. What was it? 500, almost 440 yards to 220 for Alabama yesterday. The total yardage. He throws a pick six for 87 yards. He has two fumbles. Ryan Williams fumbles the a punt. Oklahoma scores 17 points off of Alabama's mistakes or errors. But Alabama's been like this for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's not like this has just happened, okay? And more or less, you know what they say, that's sooner or later you're gonna get burnt. And it hurt them last week, even though they dominated the game in stats. But now they're going to have to go into Auburn and beat them just to get back into the playoffs.
That's always been an interesting game.
Right?
Yeah.
I think Georgia still has to play Georgia Tech. And Texas still has to play Texas A&M, so there could be a little bit of shuffling there. Obviously, Ohio State's going to play Michigan still, so it's still all up in the air. But these teams, I think it's more or less, let's not try to get into the Final Four because you're going to get a week, or let's try to get into the Final Four to get that extra week, because to play the week after at the end of the season is going to be a lot harder on some teams, and then you're going to get a rest.
Yeah. Anyways, on that note, Lou, we're going to take it to break. We're going to come back with a voice that everybody will recognize, the Toronto's own, the voice of the Toronto Argonauts, Hoagie, Mike Hogan. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville surprised the big pizza conglomerates by introducing Pizza Romana. It's a crispy Italian sourdough crust that's oval-shaped with gourmet pizza toppings. The big pizza conglomerates complained because they don't have the Pizza Romana sourdough crust. I guess that's just sour grapes. Order your Pizza Romana at pizzaville.ca or on our app.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
The full hobby experience is here at Mint Inc. From sports cards to Pokemon and TCG, Mint Inc. is your one-stop destination for collecting, grading, and live shopping. This holiday season, find the perfect gift. Sealed boxes, rare singles, memorabilia, stocking stuffers, and toys. All available now at mintinc.ca. Also streaming 7 days a week on Whatnot. And look for the new location opening this winter in Ajax. Mint Inc., where collectors are made.
Passion. It drives entrepreneurs, small businesses, and fast-growing companies. And passion inspires KPMG Private Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Private Enterprise is the number one private company advisor in Canada, navigating complex challenges to help you stay one step ahead of the competition. Search KPMG Private Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
MDF Mechanical has something in common with the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. A full-service mechanical company to building owners and developers in the GTA, we've been installing and servicing electrical, plumbing, and HVAC systems since 1986. And sometimes, Naz accuses Wally of blowing his own hot air. When we're not serving customers, the winning team at MDF Mechanical is listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour every Sunday along with you. So, let's enjoy the rest of the show. From one super fan to another.
Are they ever wrong about sports? I can answer that in two words. Impossible. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto. We're thrilled to welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour the voice of the Toronto Argonauts. You'll certainly recognize this voice, the one and only Mike Hogan. How are you this morning, Hoagie?
No, I'm doing okay. How are you guys?
We're doing fantastic. Thanks so much for joining us. It's Grey Cup Sunday. to a lot of people. Grey Cup has a lot of incredible memories. Grey Cup Sunday. In some people's estimation, it is a cultural institution in this country. I truly believe it is. It's a point of nation building in a lot of different ways. It's binded East-West for so many years in rivalry. Grey Cup Sunday is still something special, isn't it, Mike?
It is to me, and it is to, as you mentioned, a lot of people. I mean, last year, I think the number of people who watched the game, at least a little bit, was really I think the average was around 3.5 million. So that's a guess, but that'll be higher than this year because the Alouettes are involved. So you'll get the connection you didn't get last year. So it's still a big deal. It really is.
Lou.
Okay. I've been watching the Grey Cup since I was a kid. Then obviously when I turned pro, I more or less got away with it because they didn't carry it down there. It's amazing that, you know, the NFL goes to warm places and so-called dome places, and we play it, and sometimes in sub-zero weather. It's got to be a great feeling for the boys just to be out there and fighting for their lives sometimes, but competing at that level.
Yeah, the guys from Canada don't seem to mind, but you get some guys from Florida that, you know, would rather not. And it's funny, like it affects guys in different ways. And I won't name the player, but he was with the Argos in 2017 when it was a snowstorm in Ottawa. And he just couldn't play. He was from a warmer city, and they had to take him out. And they replaced him with another player. It turned out to be a couple of Canadians who took the spots. And it happens. This isn't bad. Today it's cold, but it's not as cold as it was for Giant 3 years ago when the Argos beat Winnipeg. But it's certainly not as warm as it was last year when they beat Winnipeg again, this time in a dome in Vancouver. So it's cold, but it's been a lot colder for a Grey Cup.
Well, today, Mike, it's the Alouettes against Saskatchewan. Break the game down for us. The Saskatchewan's been a while since they've won. They've won a Grey Cup. The Alouettes, they've got this great quarterback, Davis Alexander. Yeah. He's 13-0 as a starter, although he apparently has some hamstring problems going into the game. This promises to be a great Cup. You've got two pretty good teams going at it here.
Usually, you get a hunch about who's going to win a Grey Cup. And sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong, but at least you have an educated guess. I have no idea who's going to win today, which is good. I mean, Montreal, as you mentioned, with Davis Alexander, who's in his first full year as a starter, has just been ridiculous. He missed a lot of games with a hamstring injury, and Montreal really looked like a different team, completely different team without him. So he's a guy who's, you know, when you watch a movie, it's a really good movie when you've got a villain, and a really good villain. There are a lot of guys who don't like Davis Alexander because he's really cocky. You know, and that's good. I mean, that's really, I think, really good for the league because he's a talented guy with some personality. So that there's that. You know, on the other side of quarterback is Trevor Harris, who's, 108 years old now and still going. He was a rookie with the Argonauts when they won the 100th Grey Cup in 2012. He was the fourth-string quarterback. And he's just hung around and just been dynamite. And, again, they're a different team without him. So you've got two teams that are really firing offensively right now. But there's also two really good defenses out on the field. So that's why I think this one's a bit of a coin flip because I can't figure it out. Again, it'll probably come down to turnovers. Fewest turnovers won the football game.
Lou?
Was there any tickets left after Saskatchewan got to the Grey Cup? Because I know how they traveled there in Regina there. It almost feels like every time they go to the Grey Cup, there's about 30,000 people from Saskatchewan and maybe 10,000 people from everywhere else.
Yeah, Winnipeg had sold out the game. They sold out every game this year. I think they're on a 30-some game streak of sellouts at the stadium, which is 32,000, I think. So they do it really well. So the game had been sold out before the final teams were announced. But when Winnipeg hosted was eliminated, there became a lot of tickets available on the market because Winnipeg had been to five straight Grey Cups and expected to do it again. So the fans really wanted to see it this year. They were all over the tickets. And on the secondary markets, there were a lot of tickets for sale, but they were snapped up immediately. So on just Thursday, there is a lot of green in downtown Winnipeg right now.
Mike, you wrote a great piece this week about recapping some of the great Argo Grey Cup victories, and you went through and you brought, you know, reading your article brought back some great memories for me. 83 Argos against BC, 1817 Argos, 91, the infamous Rocket Ishmael game. Interestingly enough, the last time an East team won a Grey Cup in Winnipeg, that was when Rocket ran it back. Almost stepped on a beer can. Of course, it was 96. There's the Doug Flutie years, 96, 97. And, of course, the recent ones were fabulous games as well. So great history for the Argos in the Grey Cup. Going through all of – the one Argo Grey Cup I remember more than anything. And it's indelibly etched in my memory. I'm sure you can probably guess which one I'm going to go to there. They didn't win that year, but talked about it on this show a numerous amount of times. Of course, the infamous 1971 Argo team, the best team that never won the Grey Cup. Argo's incredible history in the Grey Cup, incredible memories there. If you were to pick one or two, which one stick out for you, Mike?
I think the best Grey Cup, and I'm biased, obviously, so every team's going to have their favorite Grey Cup, and it's a one that their team won. But I look at the 1996 game in Hamilton against Edmonton. It was at Iverwind Stadium, and there was no snow on the forecast that day. We arrived in Hamilton around noon, and it was sunny. There were no clouds in the sky. And then a blizzard happened, and it made it very interesting. It was... You have the score in front of you, but I think there were 9 lead changes in that game. Was it 43-37.
43-37. Okay. Yep.
Yeah, it was a crazy game, back and forth, big plays, maybe the best in CFL history, which was Eddie threw his hands, and at full speed, he kicks it back up into his hands. It's a crazy catch. I think that comes to mind, and personally, since I work for the Argos now, the one in Regina, in Regina against Winnipeg, where Robbie Smith blocked a field goal on basically the last play of the game to preserve an Argo win, it was such a back and forth game again. And, you know, Chad Kelly comes in off the bench. McLeod Bethel-Thompson was hurt in that fourth quarter. Chad came in as a rookie and kind of sealed the win with leading them to a touchdown. So, yeah, that was just crazy being on the sidelines for that one.
Lou, any memories of some great Grey Cups for you?
When I was a kid, I used to follow the Ottawa Rough Riders, and there was a lot of memories. I just can't remember, you know, going right from Bo Scott to Whit Tucker and Russ Jackson, even the. The Tommy Clement one to
Tony Gabriel,
my Italian tight end there. It was amazing watching the Grey Cup back then because the NFL wasn't that big, and obviously growing up in Canada, it was a thing to watch on that weekend. But Mike, I want to ask you something about getting away from the Grey Cup. What's happening with our the commissioner here? Is he trying to change some of the rules in the CFL to accommodate more or less the American side?
Well, they're changing rules. You know, it's been overblown that they're trying to Americanize the football game because the football league, because that's just not the case. A couple of changes next year. They're going to, right now, there are 4 buildings, I think, that have the benches on the same side of the field. That's going to change. So there'll be one bench on each side of the field. Just there was almost a fight at the end of the Argo game this year, and they thought, okay, we better. There have been too many instances where it's gotten a little heated, so they're going to do that in all of the buildings, including BMO Field. That will be a change. The other one for next year is they're going to go to a 35-second clock as opposed to a 20-second clock, but it's probably going to give them more plays, if that makes any sense at all, because right now the 20-second clock doesn't start until both teams have their players on the field, on their side of the football, and then it'll start. And there are teams that will know, like, the play clock could still be running. So teams that are smart, if they've got the lead, they're just going to take their time making their substitutions. Now the 35-second clock starts, like the NFL, as soon as the play is over. So that takes sort of the discretion out of the hands of the officials. I still think they may change it at the three-minute warning to do it like they do it now, because if there's one huge advantage that the Canadian game has over the American game, it's the timing in the last couple of minutes of the football game.
Mike, really quickly, not the greatest season for the Argos, to be fair. What do you anticipate might be some changes? I think we're looking for a coach. Where do you think the optimism is for next year?
Well, first thing is get a coach. That might be the biggest domino to fall on the CFL in the offseason. Or maybe the first one happened when Michael Shea re-signed in Winnipeg, because there's no secret the Argos had brought him in to interview him to see if he would come to Toronto. And the former Argo great, the Hall of Fame linebacker, decided to stay here in Winnipeg, where he's been for a dozen years now, and just this year snapped his streak of five consecutive appearances in the Grey Cup game. So Osh would have looked good back in double blue, but he decided to stay here. So now the next domino is who's going to take the job in Toronto, and that will tell us a lot about what direction they want to go in terms of personnel, in terms of a game plan for this next year. So yeah, we'll see, but we've got to figure out who's going to be the head coach. That's the first step.
Anyways, on that note, Mike, we can't thank you enough. Grey Cup Sundays always still important. It really is. It's been important to our national fabric for a long, long time, and it still, in a lot of ways, still binds East and West in this country. And we couldn't think of anybody better than chat with about that than you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Great talk to you guys. Thank you,
Mike Hogan, the voice of Toronto Argonauts. Voice of the Toronto Argonauts. Anyways, we're going to take it to break. We'll be back with TSN's Carlo Colaiacovo.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville introduced...
Pizzaville?
Right. When Pizzaville introduced Pizza Romana. It's a crispy sourdough crust, oval-shaped, with gourmet pizza toppings.
Pizza toppings.
It's so light and delicious, once you try it, Pizza Romana will be all you can think about. Call Pizzaville for...
Pizzaville?
Call Pizzaville for Pizza Romana or visit pizzaville.ca.
Pizzaville.ca.
Passion. It drives entrepreneurs, small businesses, and fast-growing companies. And passion inspires KPMG Private Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Private Enterprise is the number one private company advisor in Canada, navigating complex challenges to help you stay one step ahead of the competition. Search KPMG Private Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
MDF Mechanical has something in common with the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. A full-service mechanical company to building owners and developers in the GTA, we've been installing and servicing electrical, plumbing, and HVAC systems since 1986. And sometimes, Naz accuses Wally of blowing his own hot air. When we're not serving customers, the winning team at MDF Mechanical is listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour every Sunday along with you. So, let's enjoy the rest of the show. From one superfan to another.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
The full hobby experience is here at Mint Inc. From sports cards to Pokemon and TCG, Mint Inc. is your one-stop destination for collecting, grading, and live shopping. This holiday season, find the perfect gift. Sealed boxes, rare singles, memorabilia, stocking stuffers, and toys. All available now at mintinc.ca. Also streaming 7 days a week on Whatnot. And look for the new location opening this winter in Ajax. Mint Inc., where collectors are made.
Opinions expressed on the Naz and Wally Sports Hour are those of Naz and Wally and their guests.
They never argue sports. They just explain while they're always correct. The boys are back. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto. We're thrilled to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour our good friend TSN's Carlo Koliakovo. Carlo, good morning. How are you this morning?
Morning, boys. Doing great. Just driving around, and I can't believe how windy it is in the city. It feels like we're living in Chicago.
Well, it's Canada, my friend. Anyways, Carlo, I got two sides of the ledger here.
All right.
On one side of the ledger, I've got some stuff I want to talk to you about the Buffalo Bills. On the other side of the ledger, I've got the Toronto Maple Leafs. You got to figure out a way to bring better karma to this show, Carlo, because, you know, talking about the Bills and the Leafs this week is not very inspiring.
I'll do my best.
Okay. Okay. let's start with the Toronto Maple Leafs, Carlo. They've lost five in a row. Lou and I talked about it earlier on in the show. Normally we don't get too excited early in the season, but we're hitting the quarter century mark in this season, and I think it's time to start worrying. This team seems off, and it seems off for more than one reason. This isn't just a Mitch Marner thing. There's something going on with this team. They aren't where they need to be. They aren't where they've been the last couple of years. What's wrong?
Well, I mean, clearly there's no denying that there's something wrong, and whether it's something with the team or if you just take a step outside and look at the bigger picture, maybe it's something that's going on in the league, and the rest of the league is just that much better. You know, it's pretty amazing to look at the parity that we're seeing in the NHL right now, where literally every night there's no free hockey, there's no free points, and I think because of that, you know, last year when the Leafs had all the success that they had good fortunes with health, and they also had great fortunes with goaltending. And right now they're not getting any fortunes with either of those things. And when you're not getting great goaltending, it exposes, you know, the holes that you have in your lineup. And right now, what's clearly being exposed is how bad this team is playing defensively. And not just with their defense, but with their team structure. And when you're not getting saves when you need them, and you're not making plays on defense when you need them either, this is what you're getting exposed to, right? I mean, yeah, Mitch Marner is a big player to lose, and I think everybody knew that coming into the season. But what a lot of people felt confident with this team, knowing that they could still have success, is that they had all their defense intact, and they've got both of their goaltenders back. But those two strengths have become their weaknesses so far early on in the season. So, you know, I thought last night was a great return from Joseph Wall, but you look at the three goals that Chicago scored, they were all defensive breakdowns. I mean, the first one, bad coverage. You got four guys playing the same side of the ice, and the guy's wide open on the backside. The second one, Teravainen beats Morgan Riley clean one-on-one after there was a bad coverage play by the other two guys on the ice. And then the third one is just very lazy defensive zone coverage. And right now, every bad break is ending up in the back of the net. And this is why the Maple Leafs are going through their struggles right now.
Lou?
Carlo, I think this team is not built to succeed long-term. Obviously, Brad had his hands tied when he first got the job, and he had a few players that had no movement clauses, and he couldn't move them. But what I'm looking at here, and Wally and I talked about it, there's no pushback on this team. I watched the game last night with Boston and Montreal, and obviously there's a hatred and a rivalry there, and something happened in the previous game. They take care of it right there in the first two or three shifts. The other night, Boston, Zadora runs Matthews from behind. Matthews goes after him after the fact. There's no pushback on any of the players that they brought in. And I'm thinking, why would Dakota Joshua, why wouldn't Brandon Carlo? You got Benoit, who I think is living off of his clippings now, because last year he had a great year. And this year he's nowhere near as good as he was last year. You got McCabe, okay? You got Lorenz. All these guys, there's no pushback against Zadora at that moment. But then you got Max going after him in the third period. Do you not find it? I find it ridiculously funny and shameful that what is going on the ice with these guys against certain teams. And then there's also Berube biting his lip at the way that Nylander is playing right now, and he's got to take the good with the bad.
Well, Lou, welcome to the NHL in 2026, right? I mean, this is the Maple Leafs in 2026. This is a common frustration that, you know, people that watch the Leafs have with this group, is that for years they've had no pushback. They've had no response when it comes to people taking liberties at their star players. And I guess we just have to come to the conclusion that this is who they are and this is what to expect. Those other teams that you mentioned, like the Montreal, the Bostons, when you have success in this league, and when I mean success, it's, you know, being productive, being on a team that's getting points, being high in the standings, you play with a bigger head, with bigger shoulders, with a bigger level of confidence, because you know everything that you're doing is allowing success. Right? When you're not having success, and I'll use the Maple Leafs as an example. For the last 2 weeks, it's been pretty miserable around here. Guys are, you know, a little hesitant to, you know, say certain things, do certain things. Now you lack confidence. When you lack confidence, and all everybody's saying is, oh, you've got to focus on defensive structure, you've got to be harder on the puck, the last thing guys probably want to do is go out and play a tougher brand of hockey or drop the mitts with somebody. Now, I'm not sure there's many guys in the league that would like to drop the gloves with a guy like Zadora, who's a mutant in his own way. But it doesn't, it shouldn't take away from players playing for each other. And Lou, we grew up in a different era of hockey where, you know, toughness and sticking up for your teammate was part of your DNA. What part of, you know, your responsibility of playing in a team game. We just live in a world in hockey right now where that just doesn't exist as much as we want it to, and especially with this team. So I think a lot of the stuff that people are seeing and people are complaining about is because this team is not playing with much confidence right now, and they're more worried about not making a mistake than actually worrying about playing the game the right way.
Carlo, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. I agree with you when you say it doesn't exist on the Leafs, but it does exist on other teams yesterday. I don't know if you saw the hit on Bennett decided to casually skate his elbow into Nikita Kucherov's head last night.
Yeah, but those two teams are built differently.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, that, you know what? The Tampa guys went after Bennett right away. Okay.
Yeah. No. Hey, man. Do you remember the preseason game against?
Yeah. Yeah. So you know that, you know, there is pushback among some teams. I just don't like the Leafs the last few years. It's like the other teams take liberty with their captains of all people. How many times did Tavares get rattled? And you got your Matthews. I don't care if it's a clean hit or not. It doesn't matter. It's my captain. You're not doing that to my captain.
You're speaking the same language I am.
You don't do that to my captain. Sorry.
Yeah, I look, man, everybody would love to see that in the Maple Leafs,
you know?
But it's just, again, you remove a guy like Ryan Reeves from the lineup, right? Because you feel like you can't play him every night.
You know.
And maybe you can bring in like a guy like to me, Dakota Joshua or even Nicholas Waugh, their big presence on the ice. Those guys have come in as new players this year. And I just don't know, like, if I'm a new player coming into a into a team that, like the Maple Leafs, where the spotlight is on me all the time, and I know there's a role for the way that I play. I just don't understand why guys like that, built that way, come in and just fall into the same, you know, fall into the same way that guys in the previous regime played before, instead of just wanting to make a bigger name for themselves playing a different way. I don't get it, but somehow they do. They just come in here, they fall into the same trap of just buying into playing a casual game, and this is the complaints that come from it.
Let's head down the QEW here, Lou. Carlo and Lou. Man, what a miserable performance by the Buffalo Bills last Sunday. We were on such a high 2 weeks ago, and we couldn't have been dragged into lower depths. And Carlo, I don't know if you've seen that what's been circulating on social media this week about the Buffalo Bills Mafia telling Toronto sports fans to stop rooting for the Bills. I'm sure
Wait a minute. Didn't MLS team create a partnership with the Bills?
I have no idea. But the Bills want nothing to do with Toronto sports fans right now, other than the fact that I'm sure the Buffalo Bills management loves the 15,000-20,000 people that cross the border every Sunday to inject money into the Western New York economy. Anyways, how does a team produce such a stinker like the Bills produced last Sunday, and what does that mean on a go forward basis?
Look, it's hard to decompress, but, you know, I think the worst thing that could have happened to the Bills was for them to play the way that they did against Kansas City a week before the trade deadline, because it convinced everybody that they were better than they really are. I mean, look, you've watched this Bills team all year. I've watched them all year. This team is not a well-constructed team. And look, injuries have played a big part in that. They're decimated on defense. But how do you, as a GM of the Buffalo Bills, knowing that you have the current MVP of the league, Josh Allen, on your team, and decide to do nothing at the trade deadline to help improve this team on the defensive line, somewhere on the defense, at wide receiver, to give yourself a better chance to win a Super Bowl this year? And I truly believe that there is players in that locker room that feel the same way I do, knowing that this team, built the way that it is not good enough to win a Super Bowl, and the GM and management just stood pat at the deadline and said, no, we're good. We believe in this group. We think we can win with this group. When clearly, you look at the way they played this year, they have not been a good football team. And now they're benching their top wide receiver in Keon Coleman. They're playing without Kincaid. They're signing guys off of their practice squad because it's an act of desperation. And I honestly think that the performance that we saw in Miami was a team deflated and pissed off at their GM and management for not going out and helping improve this team. And I think Josh Allen is one of those guys that played that way.
Lou? Go ahead. Continue your thought, Carlo.
I don't know how this gets better for the Buffalo Bills, because, you know, Indianapolis is having a surprisingly great year. New England Patriots are probably going to win the division. How is this team, built the way that they are, that can't stop the run, going to win in the playoffs? Good luck.
I couldn't agree with you more. Lou, I know you've had an issue with the Bills. They cost you a few dollars last Sunday. Lou, you still with us?
Got his mute button on.
I think we lost him. That's unusual. We usually have a pretty good connection with him. Anyways, we'll try to get Lou back on. The Bills are 6-3. The New England Patriots appear to have become the class of that division. Their quarterback, Derek May, is in consideration of the MVP. Bills are going to have a tough time, never mind going to the Super Bowl. If they're going to do it, they're going to do it. It seems like they may have to do it the tough way, which is, you know, without home field advantage in the playoffs, which is a significant advantage, Carlo.
Well, I think the advantage that the Patriots have this year is they have one of the easiest schedules, and they've taken advantage of it. And the Bills, you know, almost the complete opposite. Not the easiest, not the hardest, but, you know, maybe a middling schedule that's providing some challenges for them. All I ask, I'm watching this Patriots team on Thursday night and watching the way Drake May is playing and watching the success that they're having, and all I keep asking is, how does Mike Vrabel go through a complete coaching cycle and not get hired by anybody else? Like, how are people in the NFL that dumb to not recognize how good of a coach this guy is? And, I mean, the impact that he's having on a New England team that, you know, I think people were ready to take a next step, but not this big of a step. And, you know, to have Drake May play at the level he's playing. And now what New England has in favor for them is that they've got a cakewalk schedule down the stretch here, and they've got to hope that the Bills got to hope that, one, they beat them in the next time they play them in New England, and two, they continue to win their games and get some help from somebody else in their schedule. I just don't see where that comes from. So, you know, it's going to provide a challenge here. Like, a team that, you know, I get worried about in the AFC, and I know they're outside looking in, and they've had a tough start, is the Baltimore Ravens. If the Baltimore Ravens get into the playoffs, I don't think anybody's stopping them.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's stopping them.
Anyways, Carlo, we got to let you go. We got a few minutes left. We got a good friend of yours hanging on the line right now that we have to talk about last weekend's Sports Card Expo.
Oh, Johnny.
Johnny Superstar's on the line. Right. So we're going to let you go, and we're going to get Johnny on the line.
Sounds good, boys. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks, Carlo.
Thanks, Carlo.
Before we go to John, John Amendola from Mint Inc., we've got somebody special in the studio this morning. I get a lot of requests from our listeners to that interact with us on our on our emails. They sent us their opinions, and the Nazanwali Sports Hour has decided to join the 21st century. So we've got in studio this morning Charlotte Davidson, who's going to help us out with some social media work. Charlotte, good morning, and welcome to the Nazanwali Sports Hour.
Thank you, Wally. Yeah, we're excited to announce that we have joined some social media platforms. You can find us on X at Nazwali Show, and our Instagram, which I'm quite active on, is at Nazwali Sports, where we post our guests ahead of time every Saturday and exclusive behind-the-scenes content. So definitely go check that out and give us a follow so you don't miss out. And like Wally mentioned, you guys can also send us an email to nazandwally@mzmedia.com. We would love to hear from you guys.
Really quickly again, Charlotte, if you could mention the addresses, if somebody wants to, I've posted a couple of things on, I still call it Twitter. I haven't got X in my mind yet, but I posted last night that I love the Chicago Blackhawks guy who sings the national anthem over there. He does a remarkable job. We need to get him in and more involved, and we post podcasts of our shows. What's the address for our X account?
Okay, so our X account is at Wally Show.
Okay, our Instagram account?
Our Instagram account is at Wally Sports.
And our email?
Our email is nazandwally@mzmedia.com.
Please, to all our listeners, please interact with us. We'll take some of the best posts, and we would love to put them on the show. Charlotte, thank you so much for helping us out with that. And really, really quickly, what do you think of the Leafs?
Well, I think the Leafs, they definitely need to get better. I really got to work on that defense.
Awesome. Charlotte Davidson. Johnny Amendola. John, how are you this morning?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. Sports Card Expo last weekend. It was amazing, John. This first time I got the opportunity to come and visit the Mint Inc. studio. I'm still waiting for my commission check. I think I made a couple of sales for you, but
nice.
All kidding aside, the place was rocking and rolling, Johnny.
Yes, record setting. Always very good. Space is alive.
And tell us how Mint Inc. is doing these days. You had some remarkable events there over the course of the last month. You guys are expanding like crazy. So tell our listeners all about it.
We're fighting with the great people in the town of Ajax right now, but we're close. We're hoping to be open there soon. Our Vaughan headquarters are ready for the holidays. We have a few other things, in the pipeline, and the Blue Jays and everything else going. It's definitely a time to be alive if you're in the card collecting business. So as a as a business or as a hobbyist. That's for sure.
You had a some pretty special people show up at your Vaughan location a few weeks ago. Not because it was any special event where you were doing a signing, but you got some impressive young Blue Jays that took the time to come up to visit you because they have a fascination with sports cards. Tell us all about that, John.
Well, we had Treya Savage and Mason Fluharty and Braden Fisher and Tommy Nance come hang out with us a bunch, ripping cards. And yeah, I mean, these kids are great. They, you know, they're a bunch of 20 and 22, 23 year old, you know, superstars. And they just, you know, it's really cool watching them try to pull their own card or talk about all the different guys that they pull. And it's pretty cool. And I've maintained quite the communication with them. I'm sure we'll be ripping lots more cards together when the off season's over.
Lou, I'll give you an opportunity to interact with John. Go ahead, Lou.
Yeah, thanks, guys, for reminding me about that, because I really wanted to come down and see how much my card was worth, if it had gone up from 5 cents or not.
Yeah, you got to be worth at least a quarter now,
a big
Lou.
Event.
Lou, you didn't hear that. Your card's worth at least a quarter now.
Oh, a quarter.
Yeah.
That's great. I can't, you know what? I should sell all mine then.
That'll get you about $2, but go ahead, Lou.
There you go. were any of my friends there, like Scotty Stevens or anybody like that?
No, I haven't seen. This year was what they'll do in the fall expo. It's usually all the Hall of Fame guys are there, and then they'll, you know, a bunch of Leafs. But there's always some great talent, young, new talent, and of course the grizzled veterans. They got all kinds. Big E was there, and Mike Tyson's been through there. And I'm just trying to think. That Sundin was there this year. That was pretty cool. Like, you know, again, all the people are always in town. The Fall Sport Card Expo is always the same weekend as the Hockey Hall of Fame induction ceremony. So you can imagine it's, you know, it's buzzing with talent just based on the fact that so many of your colleagues, former colleagues, are in town for that event.
John, what I found, I would say surprising, but it was an observation on my part, aside from the fact that it was difficult to find parking. The place was rammed. I probably had to walk like a quarter mile to get to. I was at the most remote corner of the International Center parking lot. The only thing I would suggest for next year, they got to do the crowd control a little bit better. But when I was walking in, and then, you know, I look at some of the people where they're from, man, this sports card. The amount of people that were from other places than the Greater Toronto area. You had a Peterborough Pete's bus. You had people coming in from London. You had Americans coming in from Western New York.
Second or third biggest card show in the
world. It was the level of this is like a magnet for sports card collectors, like all over North America.
Yes. It's the second largest and oldest show in the space in North America. So it's very busy. We sell to lots of people from all over the world.
And John,
because a lot of them end up in the store too.
And just always want to take the opportunity of telling our listeners how they connect. We had so many listeners that, you know, as I, you know, asked me about sports cards.
And it's not just sports cards. We got sports cards, Pokemon, board games, G.I. Joes, Marvel, everything in between. We are a very robust collectible environment that is a fantastic experience. You can find us online 24/7, minting.ca, live shopping on the Whatnot app 7 days a week, and of course in person 7 days a week at our HQ in Vaughan at Jane and Langstaff, right by Vaughan Mills, and coming soon to Ajax at Salem and Taunton.
And price wise sports cards, Pokemon, everything else, it's still going through the roof. Give us some examples of some recent sales.
It's a great time. It's a supply and demand. You know, there's more people want it than they make. So you know how that goes. But you can find cards for 25 cents, and you can find cards for 25,000 and everything in between.
And Chris,
I want to ask you something, Mike, if I get in here, guys.
Go ahead.
What's a Celebrini card going for?
PSA 10's back up to around 1,000. Bedard, not too far off. These two kids are really starting to tear it up. And, you know, the better they go, the higher they go.
And Christmas is coming up.
No, you got it all. Christmas, Hanukkah, Diwali. If you're an atheist, I don't care if you need toys, cards, collectibles, mintinc.ca 24/7. Let's go.
But does the concept that I can come in and buy something for my son or my grandson at a reasonable price still exist?
We have advent calendars that have packs of cards in them. Harry Potter, Star Wars, basketball, baseball. These are actually huge sellers. They sell out really quickly. You can come in. There will be garland lit up. Christmas music will be playing. You get the Amex out, Wally. Let's go.
Thank you, my friend. John, I know you work. Our listeners, John always works late Saturday nights. He does these fantastic shows.
I missed the first call this morning. I got a coffee now, and I'm on here, though.
Now you're raring to go, but I know you've had a late night, and I can't thank you enough.
I appreciate being on here. I'll get back on here again in a few weeks. We'll let you know how the Christmas holiday is good. For now, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, American Thanksgiving is on deck.
Do it. And if you got any specials going on, keep us posted, and we'll announce it on our show every Sunday.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
John Amendola, mintinc.ca. If you're into trading cards of any kind whatsoever, collectibles, he's the guy. On that note, Lou, thank you very much. Charlotte, thank you very much. And to all our Naz, hope you're better and hope you're back here next week. To all our listeners, have a fantastic and safe week. We'll be back again next Sunday morning. Thank you.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.